Well, we're going to continue our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. I know many of you long to grow in godliness. It's natural, made in the image of God. We want to grow and be more loving people, more kind people, more gentle people, more patient people. We even want to grow in goodness and self-control and all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit. That's a God longing that's been placed in you by the Holy Spirit. The question becomes, in a Christian life, how do I get there? How do I grow out of operating in the works of the flesh to operating in the fruit of the Spirit? And some of the things we've talked about are communing with God, prayer, living it out in community, because to be a loving and a peaceful person, you have to be loving towards others and patient with others and gentle towards others. And that's really practiced in the community of God among other people following Jesus in the world with loving our neighbor. Today we're going to continue that journey with peace. What does it look to walk in the fruit of the Spirit that expresses itself when it comes to peace? There's a prayer that I want us to be thinking of that I pray most mornings, and I'm going to share it in most of these introductions. It's a prayer by John Stott, who was an influential pastor in the 20th century, and he prayed this every morning, and he really is someone who I believe just showed off the fruit of the Spirit in his life, all these attributes connected to be engaged in communing with God. He said, "Father, help me to live in your presence and please you more and more. Jesus, help me to take up my cross and follow you. And Holy Spirit, fill me with yourself and cause the fruit of the Spirit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." That is my prayer for this whole community, that the fruit of the Spirit ripens in us more and more, and that we walk in these things to the glory of God and the good of our souls. And peace is such an important one. Many of you maybe are struggling with having peace right now in your life. You're struggling to settle down. You're struggling to be still and just know that God is God and He's in control of your life. And I pray today that through this message, that the gospel brings wonderful peace within the storms of your life, and even with the storms going on, that you can be steady and know the calmness and the stillness and the peace of God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's three expectations I'm going to share with you each intro for the next few weeks. One is the metaphor of fruit. It's important that we remember that fruit grows gradually, and that's why that's the illustration used by our God and our Savior here to help us. Fruit is gradual. We are going to grow in God's grace gradually. We'll grow in love, and we'll grow in kindness, and we'll grow in gentleness. That's going to happen. Don't be so hard on yourself if you are struggling with like gentleness. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and just be the gentlest person in the world, but you might be a little gentler. And it's a lifelong journey of serving God and following Jesus. You will be more gentle and more patient and more loving and be like today we're talking about, be more at peace. The second thing, a foundational expectation, is I do not want us to think, because I don't think what this scripture is trying to teach us, of these as separate fruits. It's more of a cluster of grapes on one vine, one stem. So to be loving is to be patient. Like, I'm a loving person, but I'm not a patient. They don't go, right? To be good is to be self-controlled. It's a cluster connected to the vine that is Jesus and abiding in God. When we abide in Jesus, in Christ, and engage with the Spirit of God, we will grow a cluster of fruit. We will show off these expressions of the fruit of the Spirit that are love, joy, peace, etc. So that's the second foundational expectation. Third, it's all by the gospel of grace. We cannot work ourselves into love. We cannot work ourselves into joy, and we cannot work ourselves into peace. It comes with trusting the eternal work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And we work out of what Christ has done. And we're really going to unpack that today. Because a debtor's ethic will kill our growth in these expressions of the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the gospel of Carlito. Did anyone see Carlito's Way? Listen, I told you I'm part Italian. That means you watch every Al Pacino movie that's ever made. They all rotate through the house. You have to watch them. And so I used to watch Carlito's Way. And so what happened to Carlito is he got out of jail. And he was like, I want to live a life of peace. Was it Carlito Rigante? I forget his last name. It's all coming back to me now. I got it right. Carlito tries, he gets back on the streets. He says, I want a life of peace. But the problem is he feels like he owes everyone something. He's like, I got to pay this debt back because this person helped me in prison. I got to pay this debt back because this lawyer helped me get less time. I got to pay this debt back. And what happened was he had this beautiful woman that wanted to spend life with him. And she said, no, Carlito, let's get out of here. Let's change our direction. Let's have peace. And he said, I want that peace, but I just got to pay back this one debt. And what happened is they just kept the momentum, because you can never pay off all the debt we owe morally. You can never pay off all the debt. So Carlito got caught in the cycle of the debtor's ethic. And finally, laying in his own blood, being shot on the train that he was supposed to go to finally get peace, because he took one last stop to pay off a debt, he lost his life and saw a vision of his wife and his future child on a beach somewhere in peace and those kind of things, but he didn't get to experience the peace. The reason I share that story is because this is not the gospel of Carlito. You cannot pay God off for the sin you have committed against him. You cannot do enough good to pay back all the sin you have done towards others. You cannot do enough good deeds to be at peace with how others have sinned against you. We can be at peace with God, with others, and with ourselves because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he paid every debt we ever owed morally. Every sin you ever committed was paid for by Christ on the cross for eternity. God is at peace with you. You can have the peace of God, and you can be at peace with others. This is the fruit of the Spirit that expresses itself in these three variations that we're going to talk about today. Peace with God, the peace of God, and peace with others. So let's begin there, because it all begins with the gospel. And I think this is foundational to our understanding. And for some of you, I'll just be reminding you today. For some of you, this will be a refresher. So some of you, this will be brand new to think about what Christ accomplished on the cross for God to be at peace with you today. We are at peace with God because God the Father sent God the Son to bear the punishment for our sins so we could be at peace. The reason Jesus was beaten, flogged, broken, bruised, mutilated, and crucified, that was the punishment for everyone's sin who believes that Christ is their Savior. There's a real punishment happening there where Jesus is stepping in and saying, you Roger, you Micah, you Brendan, you Nicole, you Bethany, you Linda, do not have to be punished for your sin. My Son is being punished in your place. That's the gospel. Now I can be at peace with the sins I have committed, the sins I am committing that I'm repenting of, and the future sins I will commit, because Christ bore it, and the cross is that powerful. The cross does not fall short with its power. It reaches to every single sin we have committed. Therefore, God is not hostile towards us. Maybe you feel like God is hostile towards you. Maybe you feel like God is angry towards you, that he stands over you with clenched fists just to pour out his wrath upon you, just with one little mistake and you fell short, or you're going to fall short and I'm going to catch you. But let me tell you what happened. Jesus Christ bore all that wrath that you falsely feel on yourself so that you could walk at peace with him. That's why it says there's no condemnation. Because what does condemnation do? It beats up ourself. It punishes ourself for our sin in many different manifestations. I can't strain enough how much we subconsciously and sometimes consciously punish ourselves for our own sins when Jesus is crying out, throw them on me and have peace because I paid for your sin. Whether it's a mom who had an affair when her children were younger, and she feels so guilty about it that she spoils her kids and buys them everything because she can't shake the guilt. She's trying to pay for her own sin. Whether it's a child who feels like they didn't spend enough time with their parents before they passed away, and the guilt and the way they treated their parents bothers them so much that they punish themselves with seasons of anxiety and depression and fear and other things because of their guilt for their sin. We subconsciously punish ourselves, and Christ cries out, be at peace. All your sin, it was on me, and the gospel is really true. Or maybe it's someone who cuts themselves to deal with the sin towards themselves or the sin they have committed, maybe not even knowing, maybe cutting themselves for everything they're going through, the brokenness of the world, the sins they've committed, the sins those have committed against them. Just maybe they're trying to make themselves suffer for their own sin. And Jesus cries out and says, I was cut for you. I bled for you. I was whipped for you. I was beaten for you. You do not have to pay for your sin. I know you are a sinner. And I loved you before you even loved me. And I died for you on that cross to know that you would not walk in sinlessness. But I had to bear every single one of your sins for your whole life in order for you to be at peace with me. This is the gospel of peace. Sin is a real problem that torments so many souls, including many of us in the body of Christ. And I want to speak peace to you today with confidence because of the Son of God, the one and only unique King Jesus. He's paid your price. You're at peace with God. God's at peace with you. That lifts the soul, doesn't it? You know, I'm reading this book called The World Lit on Fire. It's about medieval times. Let me tell you something they didn't get right during medieval times. Paying for your sin. Crazy things that were happening in the church to pay for people's sins. So it depended on the severity of the sin, but certain sins you shave your head. Certain sins you put shackles on. Certain sins you would put different bracelets on to naming your sin. People walk around resumes so people could look at your sins, like legit. Some people made to abandon their families because of their sins. Barefoot journeys to deal and pay for your sin because clergy would teach. People would come with devastated consciousness because of their sin, pain, guilt, shame, all those things that come with sin produced, right? And they say, how do I deal with this? They'd say, you've got to, there was one famous story of one count who was a renowned sinner. And finally, towards the end of his life, his conscience was so messed up, he said, I got to deal with this. He went to the clergy. The clergy said, you've got to walk barefoot for 1,500 miles through all different kinds of terrain. And finally, at the end, when he got in the street, they ended with a nice whipping on his back to pay for his sin. That's absolutely missing the gospel of Jesus Christ. One man stole a chalice and they beat him 46 blows they said would deal with his sin. Each priest hit, punched until he had 46 blows and then that dealt with his sin. Let me tell you, that does not deal with sin. There's only one thing that deals with sin and that's the cross of Christ. The other stuff is just false stuff that will only, in our conscience, we think it works, but then we'll realize that is not eternal peace. I got to make myself pay again for my sin. And there's no peace and there's no rest in that. And I think that we hear those things and we say, oh man, shackles, shaved heads, long journeys. But I wonder what the, if we contextualize that today, I think many of us If we're going to match that up with modern times, we proverbially shave our heads by declaring ourselves unlovable because of our sin. I think many of us aren't forced to abandon our families, but we abandon our families because of the sin that we can't believe God could forgive us of. I think many of us, if we don't hold on to the gospel, we make ourselves pay for our sin through a lifelong journey. But I'm here to tell you, you're at peace with God. That's why that cross is so powerful and that cross is so beautiful, and Jesus is the name above all names. Because he's the one who dealt with our sin, and we cannot deal with it ourselves. The gospel means we're at peace with God because Jesus took the long journey of the cross so that we don't have to take a 1,500-mile journey to pay for our sin. The gospel means Jesus was beaten in the streets for our sins so that we don't have to be beaten in the street for our sins. The gospel means that Jesus took our burden of sin so that we don't have to bear our burden of sin. The gospel takes that away. We are at peace with God. It must start there with the fruit of the Spirit that is peace. Torment no more, guilt no more. You don't have to make yourself pay for your sins anymore. You are free. That's what the gospel of Galatians is saying. You're not caged. You're free. You are free because of Christ. Secondly, not only can we be at peace with God, but we can have the peace of God. See, the current state of many souls in our culture, the mental health statistics are not good right now because there's a lot of souls that are not at peace. 40 million adults struggle with severe anxiety. 47,000 adults under the age of 35 took their life in 2017. It's the second leading cause of death now, suicide is, with people under 35 years old in our nation. What do those statistics tell you? They tell you that a lot of people are searching for peace and they can't find it. And our job is the first to believe it for ourselves, and secondly, to declare to the world through word and deed that they can find peace with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peace overcomes anxiety, and peace wants to live. Peace wants to live. We know that because when we feel horrible, we're struggling like it's not worth it anymore. I don't want to live like this, we say. I'm not at peace. I want to be like this. But peace wants to live. And some of you today, you may never share it, but you could be having suicidal thoughts. I want you to tell you, you're at peace with God. Life's worth living. You're loved by God. And allow that peace to want you to live. Because not only are you loved by God, you're loved by us. And God will use you to cause others to have hope. Amen? Very important. I often think part of the challenge of having the peace of God is that we don't have a good vision of what the peace of God is. I want to ask you, when you think of the peace of God, what vision comes to your mind? When you think of the peace of God, what vision comes to your mind? Is it at a beach? Did some of you just go to a beach? Lounge chair on the sand, your preferred drink, no humidity, 82. Right? Somehow your favorite music is playing, but you don't know where it's coming from. Right? That's not the peace of God, that's vacation. And if you bring that view into life, you're going to be really let down. See, the peace of God is much different. I read this when I was younger. I'll put my own twist on it. It's a beach day. But you look at the forecast, it says it's going to be 82, no humidity. You go there, it's a high of 68 with a light rain and overcast. Right? You're sitting in a chair, no drink, because someone forgot to pack the drinks. Right? A pride of seagulls have decided to harass you on the beach the whole time while you're there. No beautiful music, just cries and tears. And to top it off, a whale has decided to beach itself. And you got to get up with all the other let-down people who thought it was going to be a nice sunny day and get the whale back into the water. but you're still at peace. That's the peace of God. Storms, let down, trials, struggle, but I have a peace that passes understanding because I know God's in control and I know He has good in my life. The peace of God does not have to do with circumstances. It has to do with our relationship and standing with God, that I can be peaceful on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, regardless of what goes on, because I know my God loves me, He's in control, I'm at peace with Him. The most important thing has happened for me, the gospel of Jesus Christ, therefore I can navigate all life's storms. Amen? That's the peace of God. That's the kind of visual we need. And I'm not saying there's not going to be sunny days, but I'm going to say there's going to be a lot of rainy days. But God, there's two things that we need to hold on to have the peace of God. It's called the providence of God, that He's in control of every single detail of our life. Every bird that falls from the sky, every flower that grows, the giving of life, the taking of life, that is all in God's hands. Therefore, when it's sunny out, I can be at peace. When it's rainy out, I can be at peace. In seasons of sickness, I can be at peace. In seasons of health, I can be at peace. Seasons when my bank account is looking good, season when I don't even want to look at it. You know, I can be at peace because God is in control. That's the peace of God, and that fruit of the Spirit demonstrates itself with that kind of peace. And I want us all to have that. And when we know the peace, when we're at peace with God and have the peace of God, the natural overflow of that is peace with others. When our person is shaped by the peace of the gospel, we begin to overflow with this loving peace towards others. But it's rooted in the gospel. Now, you can understand this by looking at works of the flesh that aren't peaceful, that you see named earlier in this chapter. And let me give you a few examples. When I'm jealous of others for what they have, how they look, what they achieved, I'm not being at peace with what I have and what I look like and what God has allowed me to achieve in my life. See, jealousy is a work of the flesh. Envy is a work of the flesh. And it's a sign that we're not at peace with how God has dealt with us in our lives, who He has made us. When I'm always a part of division or divisive conversations, I'm not walking in step with the Spirit that caused me to be a peacemaker. That's a work of the flesh. That's people who gossip and are divisive and at strife and constantly these conversations escalate to places of division, that's a soul that's not at peace with the gospel. And we want to walk in step with the Spirit and be at peace with the gospel. When I'm always having fits of anger, maybe some of you struggle with fits of anger. Maybe I have not come to peace with the realization that I am a sinner and those around me are sinners, and I need to be at peace with that and grow with grace towards others. When we have fits of anger, we're not showing grace. It's showing a soul that's not at peace. I remember one of my favorite pastors, they asked him what surprised him most about ministry, and he said, it's weird because I believe so strongly in the doctrine of sin, but then I always got surprised when people sinned against me. Don't be surprised by sin. Don't be surprised by hurt. Be at peace with the fact that we are sinners that God is sanctifying, and others are sinners in the church that God is sanctifying. And that we've got to be at peace that we're in a broken world where sinners exist, that we're going to have to forgive and we're going to have to be forgiven. But one day Jesus is going to come back and make all things new, and those former things will fade away to never be heard of again. I don't have to have fits of anger because I'm ready for it. Every day it's healthy to wake up and say something bad's going to happen today. Someone's going to sin against me today. I'm going to be let down. I'm going to let myself down. But you know what? Jesus is still on the throne, and His grace overshadows all of that. And I don't have to be angry about it. I'm at peace because Christ is making all things new. Amen? So you see, when you're at peace because of the gospel, I can now cheer for what others have achieved while being grateful for what I have. I can promote peaceful conversation even if I disagree with the person. We can be at peace with those we disagree with. And I can be categorized by calmness even in the middle of the storms of my life. See, Jesus was a person of peace. He is a person of peace. I love this title of our Savior, the Prince of Peace. It's a beautiful title for King Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He made peace between God and man. He experienced the worst that a human life could offer. Jesus experienced the worst that a human life could offer. Betrayed, beaten, whipped, mocked, and crucified. Yet he brought us peace through his death and resurrection. He made peace between God and man by being the perfectly sinless God-man who took our place, our punishment, and paid for our sins so that we didn't have to. All who believe this gospel can live in peace. We can be at peace with God, the peace of God, and at peace with others. Restoration Road, let's grow in that fruit of the Spirit that is peace. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are struggling with peace right now. I want to start with peace with you. For those who believe that your son Jesus died and rose again, but are struggling to understand that your grace covers all of their sin, would today be the day that they understand that beautiful, freeing, overwhelming love that is experienced in the grace of your gospel? For those who are struggling with having your peace during the storms of their life, going through sickness, going through trials, going through just concerned about where they're going to live or how they're going to pay their bills, Lord, or many other things, I pray that you would give them peace and help them understand that you will always provide for them and that you're working things in them to make them more like your son Jesus, even in their darkest times. And Lord, I pray that you help us be at peace with each other and peace with our neighbors and peace with our co-workers and all the people we interact with. Help us at Restoration Road to be known as a people of peace, as people of peace. That we'll be peacemakers, blessed as peacemakers, your sons and your daughters, doing your work of bringing peace to division and bringing hope and peace to people who are going through trials. And most of all, Father, that we bring peace to others by sharing your precious gospel with them. Please hear our prayer, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.